The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Thursday, the 23rd day of February 2023. And tonight we have... Well, he's on the board. Man, he's behind. He's going the whole mile with none other than Style.
How are you, Net Pastor?
All righty, there you go. And we have right here, live, well, pretty near, close to live, right here in the studio, none other than Eric there, right there.
Good evening, brother, and welcome to the program.
All right, there you go, Eric. Don't say nothing else. Yeah. You never can tell. I got to keep an eye on things around here. Hey, listen, we got a really special guest, like a rose. In fact, that's exactly what we have. We have a Rosie between the thorns, Rosie Higura. Are you there, Rosie?
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Hello, and it is really good to have you here because you are our kind of lady. You are really our kind of lady. And what I mean by that, the folks will know once we get into this. Hey, Rosie, in Proverbs chapter 22, I know you're familiar with this verse. Verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And amen.
Amen. Did you know that what that really means when it says train up, that word actually has two meanings in the Hebrew, dedicate or consecrate. Did you know that?
Yes.
And it says literally according to the way he should go means according to his way. It's referring to according to God's way, huh?
Absolutely. It's a conscious decision to set apart your child for the ways of the Lord.
Amen. And so here, the whole idea is that when he is grown, when they are grown, they're going to be, well, they're going to make the optimum, if you will, contribution to the kingdom of God. That's what God's intentions are, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And then in verse 15 of Proverbs 22, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We have today, children are giving way too much because of political correctness and the woke movement. They're giving way too much leeway and way too much freedom to make decisions that they are not really qualified and ready to make, are they not?
Correct. Their brain is not even completely formed until they're 25.
And if they're Democrats, then how long does it take?
Oh, that might not ever happen.
If it happened, they wouldn't be Democrats, would they?
That's right. They would have common sense enough to stay away from that party.
Absolutely right. We have proof of that. It's called AOC, okay, and the squat,
right.
Okay?
Right.
And so, absolutely. That's Alexandria, what's her name? Yeah.
Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, well, I'm going to tell you, there's the proof right there. That's all we need. And so, but he says, the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then I want to go over very quickly to Ephesians, and I know you're familiar with this verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, Rosie, I spent 45 years in a prison ministry. In fact, I still am in it, not like I used to be, but 45 years accurately up on death row, going to death row. And in all of those years, a couple of things that all of the inmates had in common. One of them was just about all but one, when they committed their crimes, they were either on drugs or alcohol or both. But another common factor was, a major factor, is no father in the home. No father in the home.
And I was just going to say that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when I first got into the prison ministry, I thought that not having a father in the home, having a single mother, would draw the mother and the son closer together. But it worked just the opposite. It seemed that single mothers had a tendency for some reason to, well, I guess for a number of reasons, with today's infidelity especially, to push their sons farther away. And that's the way it worked. But yeah, that was one of the major, major reasons they had no fathers in the home. And that's in our society today.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's incredible.
It is. And the major institution, back for 50 years, I've been telling people on the radio, if you love your children, get them out of the public schools. Get them out of there, okay? And the reason is what took place in 1962 when they expelled God from the public school. I'm holding an article here right now by Joe Wolverton. It says, Bill to abolish Department of Education is gaining sponsors. So we really need to push on this. And that's what we really need to do. President Reagan wanted to abolish it, but he didn't. He did not. He should have gone through with it. I know Donald Trump wants to abolish it because the Department of Education is not about education. It's about indoctrination, isn't it?
It is. It's very sad.
Well, that brings us to why you're here. Now, you are in the San Diego area, and you go right into the public schools and tell the folks here what you do in the public schools.
All right. Well, luckily, my three kids, they did go to public school, but I was very involved in the schools, volunteering, getting to know their teachers, knowing what they were learning. And they weren't taught all of this garbage. I mean, there would have been probably fist thrown if I had teachers teaching my kids this kind of garbage. But I go to the school board meetings, and there are a small group of us. We're called Rebels in the Park, and we're a small grassroots movement. And let me tell you, most of these people are seniors. They should be in their golden years on their rocking chairs enjoying their grandbabies. But no, they are in this fight. And they have rolled up their sleeves, and they are faithful, showing up month after month. For the last 2 years, we've been speaking at these board meetings, holding the school boards accountable, and uncovering all the garbage and all the wokeness, the diversity, equity, inclusion, all the names that they try to masquerade, all of the racism, the hatred for our country, for our flag, for our freedom, for our heroes, for our military and police. All of the sexualization, the pornography, it's pretty disgusting. We've just scratched the surface, and I would not be surprised if we've uncovered, sex trafficking rings, because we're starting to disturb the hornet's nest. People are getting very angry, and they know my name and my last name, and I've been called out on social media, and we have people that are pretty upset when you have the superintendent visiting your pastor at church to try to get us to back off. So lot of intimidation. We've gotten letters from the school board, the teachers' union's attorneys, with cease and desist letters because my husband read the Bible and told the superintendent, I have a prophecy for you, Dr. Vitale. The Bible says, if anyone offends one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone is hung around their neck and they're drowned in the depths of the sea. And so as a result of that, that was considered a threat. So they didn't like that too much. And I went back the next month and I said, well, thank you for the letter. We got your intimidation letter. Thank you very much. But we did not threaten you. I'm sorry, but we didn't write this. You know, take it up with God. He wrote the Bible. And so if you feel threatened by the Bible, well, I don't know what to say to you. But so, yeah, we're faced with those kind of tactics. And now the school board has gotten a political activist who's the head of the LGBT Center. They found out that we were going to come to the last meeting and expose all the pornographic books and talk about them. And the news was called, and this political activist, he rallied all of the LGBT community to come in with their posters and their hate in protest to us. And so, yeah, I mean, we were called every name in the book, homophobic, transphobic, Nazis, you name it. And they made it an LGBT issue. But what was so amazing is that God sent a group of people called Gays Against Groomers, and they were actually our allies. And they sent they had two speakers come and speak, and they are actually LGBT community. And they said, this is not about the LGBT community. It's not about banning books. This is about grooming children and sexualizing children. And it was just so beautiful to see how God turned that around. And we also had some local pastors from Awakened Church and at the Cross Church that came and spoke just so beautifully. I just see God's hand of mercy coming and using people to just show love and kindness to this community and share God's word. And so I know that God has us in this fight to fight for families, the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, and to come and just be a champion for children and for families' rights, because these schools are like runaway trains, and they have horrible intentions. And the school boards, they have a lot of authority, but they are completely intimidated by their superintendents and by the teachers' unions. And they actually have all the power. They could actually fire the superintendent, but they don't use their voice. You know, one of the school board members actually came up to us one evening and was yelling at us and said, you know, I'm sick and tired of you beating me over the head month after month. It's always going to be 5-0. And I said, what? Your vote is always going to be 5-0? I don't understand. You know, you are part of the board. You represent the community. You have been voted in by the people. You serve the people. I said, are you okay with all of this LGBT and CRT and racism and all of this stuff that's brought in, you know, to rob our kids' innocence? And he said, yeah, I'm okay with that. And
now, who was it? What was his name?
So his name is Mike Blessing.
Mike Blessing.
Yep.
Mike, I'm Pastor Ernie Sanders. If you're listening out there, folks, if you're listening out there and any of you know Mike Blessing, you tell him that Pastor Sanders said he needs to repent of that. You tell him he needs to repent of that because only a fool will say the things that he's saying, or, you know, he's going to burn in a lake of fire. Now, you tell him Pastor Sanders said that, okay? And then tell him how he can call me here. You hear that, Mike Blessing? Okay, and by the way, do you know what LGBTQ stands for? It's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. That's what that stands for. Lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. I know.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
And so,
yeah, I mean, it's very sad because even the LGBT community, you know, they don't want any harm to come to the children. But, you know, I did see at this last school board meeting that they are changing everything that's happening, and they are targeting us, and they are, you know, coming against this Christian group, and, you know, this little rebel group. There's maybe four of us that go to church, and the rest, they're not even Christians, but they're guilty by association, and so they're lumping us all together. And so, you know, but we realize that this is a fight, and, you know, it took 50 years to get here, and it's going to take a while to get us out of this mess as well. But you hit on such a key point that in 1962, I've been telling my kids, you know, we took prayer out of school, and none of the Christians stood up for that. You know, we all sat by, and we were nice and polite. And we, you know, God being the gentleman that he is, he left the schools. He turned his back. And, you know, we were the saving grace of schools. And as soon as that happened, all the school shootings and all of the devastation came in and all of the filth. And
well, you know, Rosie, there's one group of people who had the main responsibility. The main responsibility was to keep God from being expelled from the public schools. And that those were the pastors. That was their main responsibility. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and it begins in the pulpit. Okay, and so no place has our Lord been so dishonored but by pastors, okay, that were hirelings. They were gutless, and they didn't take a stand when they should have stood. They cowered, they tuck-tailed, and they ran. And the same thing happened even worse in 1973 with Roe v. Wade. And I remember very clearly saying, fellas, why don't we march on Washington, D.C.? They should have done it in 62 and 73. The pastors in this country had the responsibility to Almighty God to march down to Washington, D.C. and put that court that was supreme only in its rebellion and its sin against God and country. That's the only thing they were supreme in. And the pastors had the responsibility to hold them responsible for treason, high treason against God and the country, and the pastors failed. They didn't have the courage when it counted. And today, there's still only a small percentage of us that have the courage to stand and fight. I went down there with 100 pastors to D.C., but that wasn't enough. We needed 10,000. And so...
Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. And that's been my prayer, too, is, you know, God, wake up these men. Wake up these men. They are the watchmen on the walls, and they are the providers and the protectors of the home. And so they need to do their part and repent and turn to the Lord and really be grounded in the word and in prayer and pick up their sword and their shield. And so I'm praying, you know, God, send those men, send those mighty spiritual warriors, those spiritual giants in the land. And if, you know, those pastors don't want to preach the word and they want to be politically correct, then remove them and put, you know, brave men of God there. Because you're right. I mean, in the old days, they used to, the clergy were also fighters. They would put on their, you know, pick up their firearms as well, and they would fight after preaching on Sunday. And so
the Black Road Regiment, and we still do have a Black Road Regiment. I'm a part of that.
That's right. That's awesome. We need that.
Well, there are those of us that are standing and fighting, and I think there's more of us than people realize out there, and things are going to come to, they're coming to a head. The way things are, I don't think, I can't see how the Lord can hold off much longer. I really don't. With things are deteriorating so fast, unless there's revival, something's happening there in Kentucky. And I'm watching it, and I'm hoping that's genuine. It's the real thing.
Yes, I believe so. It's actually going across the world on social media. You can see so many in the Philippines and just different places around the world where people are coming to Christ and getting baptized. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And that's truly what the world needs is we need to go back to square one. We need to repent, and we need to go back to the basics, the Bible, and do things God's ways. And that therein lies the blessing, is doing things God's way. And we've strayed so far from that. I mean, we blaspheme God on so many fronts. And so, yeah, we need a great cleaning to take place, to just, and it needs to start in the house of the Lord, like you said.
We need to run to the battle. Of course, that's what we've done here from day one, and we've never ever stood down. In 50 years here, we've ran to this battle. We fought. We in the early days in the abortion area, it got pretty heavy. At times, we had a lot of our people. Some even got killed fighting the fight out there against America's national sin, and that's killing of the children. You see, the sewers in this country run red with the blood of the innocents, and the Bible makes it clear. God says their blood cries out and bears witness. And, you know, people think, well, you know, personally, I would never have an abortion, but I'm not going to judge those that do. Your blood guilty, because Proverbs chapter 24, it tells you what? It makes you very, very clear not to forsake. When you go to rescue those being led to slaughter and led to death, and if you say, well, now I didn't really know about it, God says, won't he that looks upon the heart? So the day comes when you stand before the Almighty, and he asks, what were you doing when they were killing all my children? The only answer that will be acceptable, Rosie, is everything I could to stop it. And so that's reality.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And that is such a hot topic nowadays. People don't even want to bring up the subject. But they are the most vulnerable, and they are the most precious, and they're made in God's image. And it's just like the ancient Israelites. I mean, way back in the beginning of creation, they were sacrificing babies to Molech, the god of Molech. I mean, these were God's chosen people, and they quickly forgot who their maker was, and they started trusting in other gods and sacrificing their own beautiful children. But what's crazy is that America has sacrificed millions, as you well know, over, what, 64 million babies. It's just...
It's actually double that. It's actually double. I've been in that fight from the very first, and I've talked to many of those that were in the abortion that have come out of the child-killing industry, that have come out. We've led some to the Lord. And every one of them will tell you it's a common practice, and the IRS knows that they only report one out of every two babies they kill. That's the common practice. And so,
oh, my goodness. That's even more devastating. And then with the morning after pill, I mean, that makes it so convenient, and so that no one will ever know how many, you know, hundreds of millions have been aborted that way as well.
You had Whoopi Goldberg bragging. She said she was proud of her abortions. So you actually have a group of extremely unclean, the Bible says they're unclean, wicked women out there that now it's called abortion pride. This is,
Wow. You
talk about evil and wicked. Let me tell you what it says in Jeremiah chapter 34. It says, and in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. And now listen to this. Yet thou sayest, because I'm innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. In other words, he's talking about these wicked women. Now, this is a type here. He's using an example of wicked, unclean women as he's talking about the nation of Israel. He's using this as an example, the nation of Israel. But what they're saying, look, nobody stopped me. I mean, nobody stopped me from doing what I was doing, so therefore I'm innocent. That's not what God says. God's immutable, isn't he?
That's right.
And we're going to be, right now, the Church of England, which is completely apostate. It is virtually a satanic church now, the Church of England, virtually satanic. They're saying that God got it all wrong when it comes to sex, gender, and abortion. That's what they're saying. So now, I mean, this is how deep and how far they've apostatized.
Yes.
Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want you to tell the folks how they can join in with you I mean, they really should. I want in. I want in on this fight, okay? And do you hear that, Mike? What's Mike's last name?
Mike Blessing. He needs to be a blessing.
Okay. All right. Do you hear that, Mike Blessing? I'm in on this fight now. And all of you heathen out there, I'm telling you, God is not mocked. You may not believe that, but Mike Blessing, you will believe that. Be back right after this. A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said as he walked in. He said, tell me what I can do. She said this to him.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Heaven they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them all he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them.
She said, I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about mom and dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
The pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them.
Said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them again. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them again.
All right, tell mom and dad about Jesus, and that's exactly what Rosie does when she goes to the schools, and you try to tell the kids about Jesus, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Mike Blessing, you need to hear about Jesus, and so you listen to this radio program, and you will, right?
Absolutely.
Tell the folks out there, Rosie, how they can join in this fight with you, because I want in, okay? Tell them how they can join in with you.
Wonderful. Well, the first thing you can do is pray. Pray that God would raise up courageous men and women that will join the fight and be bold and take a stand against evil in all fronts. And pray that candidates will run for local, city, federal, and state offices, because we need to turn the ship around and we need to go back to common sense, morals, and the Constitution and upholding the law.
Something like decency, honor, and integrity would help, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, it would. And also, our group, we just formed the North San Diego County California Republican Assembly. And I know that, you know, there are a lot of dirty Republicans as well. There's evil on both sides, but we had to choose a party that stood with our values. And so we formed the CRA, the local chapter, and we're the only one in all of San Diego County. And so we want to have a little bit more weight so that when we find wonderful conservative candidates to run, we can endorse them. And so that's a little assembly that we have that we're trying to grow. So if people want to get involved with that and become members of that, that would be fantastic. And also in response to all the drag queen story hours that are popping up across the nation, I decided to do my own reading group. So it's called Reading with Rosie. We just started this month, and it's been great. I work for a wonderful school that opened up as a response to all the craziness with all the mandates of the vaccine and the mask and all the woke teaching. And so this school is called Freedom of Choice, and it's just a beautiful place where families can bring their kids and actually get a top-notch education and not get indoctrinated and sexualized, and they can actually come out intact with their innocence. And so I started that reading program, and it's going wonderful. And I also felt like the Lord was telling me to write some books, and so I actually wrote my first book, and it is about my newborn grandson, Liam. He was just born in November. He's just a beautiful blessing. And so the first story is about him and how he needs a mom and a dad at home, and he needs dad to be strong and not be confused about his identity, not a man wearing lipstick and a skirt, but an actual man that works and provides for the family and protects his children and his wife and contributes to society and teaches, you know, kids all about values. And so I set up a GoFundMe page for that, because when I talked to the publisher, I almost fell out of my seat when she told me it was going to be between $6,000 to $9,000 to publish a book. And I'm thinking, it's just a little kid's book. But So that's really exciting, because if you go to Amazon and if you go to the school library, we got a hold of the school library, about 97 pages of books, and it's incredible the amount of filth that are in the public school library. So this is our tax dollars that are funding this filth, and it's all about LGBT, gender, identity, social justice, tolerance, and basically hate for our country and hate for mankind that is different from you. And so these books are just very detrimental to the family and to children. Their aim is to destabilize children and destabilize the family unit. And it is very intentional and is very deliberate, and it's not okay. And so I feel like we need to have some people rise up and write some wholesome books that are going to actually teach our kids about the Constitution and our nation's history and all the beautiful people that died and paid with their blood for the freedoms that we have. And it's not okay to tear down our national monuments and statues and riot in the streets. So, that's my quest. That's a little project that I'm working on right now, is getting some of these books out of the schools and getting wholesome books into kids' hands.
All righty. We will be more than happy to help you with that. Do you have like a website or a phone number that folks can call to get involved with that school and get involved with what you're doing there?
Yes, absolutely. I can give you my email address, and that's Rosie the Rebel. So it's ROSIEPHEREBEL, Rosie the Rebel at proton.me.
Okay. Rosie the Rebel at proton.me, right?
That's correct.
All right. Very good. Rosie the Rebel at count me in on this. See, Rosie, here on this radio program, we did a lot of first, and you know, we tried to really educate the left. Like they didn't know what a woman was. Well, we did. We've known for what a woman was for years and years. And in fact, you know, we were the first to tell them that a woman could be a mother, a woman could be a grandmother, a woman can be an aunt, a woman can be a sister, and all those things. Okay, now also. When they're in Seattle and Portland and now in Minnesota, they want to put Tampax machines in the boys' bathrooms, Rosie, just in case the boys have a period. But we were the first ones to tell them, listen to this, because, you know, they were shocked. We told them that if they were having their periods, they weren't boys. And we knew that. And this hit them like a ton of bricks.
Right.
And it's not only that. Remember, we also were the very first, too, to tell them when they were telling us all the polar bears were drowning because of the rising water. And we told them, number one, polar bears can swim. We were the first to tell them.
Right.
They're not drowning, and there's more polar bears now than there ever was. And not only that, but check this out. This was probably the biggest story that we broke was when it came to global warming. We were the first to tell them, listen to this, the sun heats the earth. We did an experiment. You know what we did? We went right out there in the driveway in the concrete. Part of it was in shade. Part of it was in the sun. And we took the temperature difference. This was like really deep. And the liberals said, that's not real science. But you could touch it and you can feel it. And it's for real. Okay. And so. Now, I know that's way over their head, and I know that nowadays that's the kind of education you can't even get that at Harvard or Yale now, okay? It's you know, that's just way up there.
That's so, right.
But anyhow, so we're with you in this battle, and again, that's Rosie the Rebel at proton.me. We're with you now. We're gonna bring up a couple other guys here in just a minute. You're welcome to stay with us if you want to hear what's going on. You've probably heard about what was been going on with the Brunson Brothers case.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna get a little bit of an update on that because it's not what people think, and this case is so much different in so many ways than it in all the others. And we're gonna bring Ken Cromer up, and he'll tell you about that. And then he's going to tell you a little bit about his own situation. And then also we have with us, I think we have out here, I believe.
Tom Fairbanks?
Pardon?
Tom Fairbanks?
Yeah, Tom. That's right. I'm looking. Is Tom with us tonight, too? I thought I saw him call in.
He's going to call in. I don't know if he... made it on. Are you there, Tom?
No, I think he dropped off. Okay.
Oh.
So.
He's got your number, so I know he'll be calling in.
All righty. Very good. Okay. So yeah, he did call, but he dropped, so maybe he'll call right back. Tom, if you're listening, call back in. All right. Tell Rosie the difference between this case that they have, the Brunson brothers, what makes it different from the other cases as far as... the hearing, and it goes in as far as the government, the federal government, they're really not trying to fight it, are they?
No, they're not. That's what is so unique about this case. This is Supreme Court case number 22-380, Roland J. Brunson versus Alma S. Adams et al., which means 380 8 members of Congress, including President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, Mike Pence, and Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi. They're all named in this case. And if this case is successful, what would happen is the Supreme Court could order the Sergeant at Arms at the Capitol to rescind the credentials for all of those 388 named individuals and not allow them into the Capitol again. They're fired officially from their positions as congressmen, and the states must replace them with lawful new replacements.
Okay.
In the case of the White House, what would happen is that the Secret Service would be notified by the Supreme Court that they are not to allow Kamala Harris or Joseph Biden into the White House ever again, and none of those people would ever be allowed to hold any government office at any level, even dog catcher. So
wow.
This is a serious charge, and what happened is that the case was declined on the conference committee that was going to decide if they would hear the case or not, was declined on January 6th, the second anniversary, and then it was announced to the world on Monday the 9th. They do it that way. They do it in private on the Friday, and then they announce it on the Monday. But it was on the second anniversary they declined it, or denied it is the proper term. And so the Brunsons refiled the petition for rehearing, or filed a petition for rehearing, I should say properly. And that was denied on Friday the 17th of February, just this past Friday, and then announced to the world on Tuesday, whatever the date was, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st of February, on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. And so they were denied. Now, they have 4 more opportunities to petition for rehearing, and they've already started the paperwork. They're not discouraged or dismayed at all. They are on a divinely orchestrated path, and they have an assignment, and they're not going to back down from it. Now, Pastor Sanders was referring to what's unique about this. Well, for one thing, the Solicitor General, and I've forgotten her name, it starts with an S, but it's a unique name, very different name, and she has been essentially hired, as the U.S. attorneys were fired to represent the 388. She was the sole defense for all 388, and she filed a simple one-sentence decline of opportunity to defend on paper those 388. And the Supreme Court accepted their no-fight declaration, which means that though the Supreme Court has denied the cases, to take the cases to actual hearings in the court, the possibility remains that they may continue to deny it and keep that opportunity in their back pocket to use it whatever opportunity they want, because the law has been fulfilled, the defense has been given an opportunity, and they may just hold that silver bullet at whatever point they decide they think it's most helpful to fire those people from office. Now, of course, conversely, it could be that they're all traitors, or most of them, the majority of them are traitors, and that it will never be heard, and hence the criminals will not be removed from office for failure to fulfill their oath of office. And that's what the charge is.
All right, Tom Fairbanks is now, Tom is now joined us. Are you there, Tom?
I am here.
All right.
How are you, Pastor Sanders?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, frustrated with typical interferences with phones, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, boy, do I. Boy, do I. Yep.
Gremlins are hard at work tonight.
So, all righty. Yeah, they are. I've battled that for 50 years, but not like it has been in the last few years. They've really been going after us. But.
Yep. Tom and I have both experienced our computers doing very strange things, our phones doing strange things. And we don't doubt that they're listening, and so we would just tell our friendly NSA and whoever that's interrupting or trying to mess with us in our computers that, hey, you're breaking your oath of office, and whether it's in this life or the next, you will face justice. Please obey your oath of office.
We see a real movement of people. I'm seeing a real awakening of people where they've had enough, you know, and the people are waking up and they're saying enough is enough, no more. We don't want any more of this. This is insanity, and it's gotten really bad. And I'm going to tell you the worst part is what is taken about this human trafficking. We told people this before Joe Biden was even as in president, while he was still vice president. We told him about the corruption and the Biden crime family. We told him right at the beginning that the Biden crime cartel, their job was to keep the gate open on the southern border, to keep the gate open. They've been working hand in hand with the drug cartels, the human smuggling cartels, and a horrible, horrible thing has been happening in this country, and that's the child trafficking that they're using these children for. And Joey's job was to make sure that there was a good supply of children coming in. Rosie, you were right when you hit on what you were talking about the possibly you've got some people there in San Diego very, very nervous about what is going on, especially when it comes to children, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The teachers union actually made a comment which got back to me, and they said, I sure hope that this Rosie the Rebel doesn't run for school board. And I think that we are definitely hitting on something there, because this director of the LGBT Center, Max Dispositi, he's involved with the Trevor Project, and just the hate that he's putting online about us is just so incredible. But he is also getting everyone to go to all the other school board meetings, not just ours. And so we started something there, and he's telling everybody to run for office and take up all of the city positions, because I think he wants to turn it into like a little gayville, but that's not going to happen. We're praying that his center closes down. And actually, because he has a nonprofit center and he's the director there, he's not even supposed to be involved in politics. He shouldn't be a political activist. And so I'm hoping that he loses his status as a nonprofit, because he's stirring up a lot of hatred in the community and hurting a lot of people and trying to throw an axe in a lot of the conservative races. And so that's not okay. And so I want him to know that we're not going to be intimidated or bullied, and we're not going to back off. And he's going to leave, because he's not here to help our young people. He's here to help them mutilate themselves and hurt them. And so, no, we're fighting for those kids in that community as well, because God loves them and he died for them, and they are worth fighting for as well.
You know, more and more of these young people that have been mutilated are coming out and they're giving testimony. You know, in fact, there was just one last night on the Fox News talking about how he was told that he was a girl in a man's body. He was convinced by the school, the public school system where he was at there. And so he went to have all the sex changed. He got mutilated. And now he regrets it, you know, as so many. And these young girls that are having their breasts cut off, they don't grow back. You know, they're told them that they grow back. They don't grow back, okay, folks? I mean, it's just, it's insanity. And
they take their reproductive organs out, and their children, I mean, they're not even allowed to drive or drink or vote, and yet we're going to let a child who has been brainwashed by whoever decide something that's going to be permanent? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I hear you. All right, we're going to go back with Ken and Tom and tell us, so to pick it up where we left off in that case, and both of you, both have your own cases that you're trying to get before the court, too. And, in fact, whichever one of you guys want to go first and explain your own situation, or do you want to finish off with the Bronson Brothers case?
Well, Pastor Sanders, I'm not sure if this has been addressed or not, but on Monday when the Supreme Court announced that they had denied to hear Brunson's case again, the following morning, three affidavits signed by myself, Clyde and Gail Baugh, who were all part of the Community Support Foundation, stamp overnight affidavits to the Supreme Court of the United States, virtually putting them on notice that they had, in fact, committed misprision by their refusal to hear the case. Bouvier's 1856 dictionary states that any magistrate who is made aware of either a felony or a treason and sits back silently and does nothing to apprehend the offender is guilty of misprision. We then ask the Supreme Court to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the supreme law of the land, and to hold their duty. I think that they were going to be surprised at how fast that response is. Now, we're actually opening up to all of you good people of We the People, who are all members of the Community Support Foundation, to do likewise. Send an affidavit, because the power of the affidavit is that if you send that the same way that we did, you actually become co-petitioners with the Brunsons in asking for them to hear the case of Brunson against Adams et al., that case 22380.
Now, do you have a copy of the affidavit that you sent? Is it on a website where people can say, well, let me go and look and see how they did this?
Ken, this is where you come in.
Ken? Is Ken still there?
Oops, my mute hit with my cheek. I apologize. I can answer that question. I literally just pressed the publish button to the notice of that shows Tom and Company's letter, and that can be found at CedarHillsCitizens.org. CedarHillsCitizens.org. The first article that will come up is called "Using the Constitution to Save America," number 14. Community Support Foundation support of Brunson's at SCOTUS. And there is an explanation there and the letter that they sent and how you can jump in and do your part to do the same thing and be a part of helping save America by holding elected officials accountable to their oath of office.
Okay, now that's Cedar Hill, one more time.
Quite well done.
Cedar, give me that one more time.
Cedar Hills. Citizens.org, and that's spelled
C-E-D-A-R,
Hills, H-I-L-L-S, Citizens, C-I-T-I-Z-E-N-S.org, CedarHillsCitizens.org.
All right, very good.
And you'll find a lot of good information there on the Brunsons and our cases and the progress that we're these folks from Utah, you wouldn't guess that our little state would be involved in so much good and bad, frankly, to be honest with you. We've got our plenty bad going on. And
you got your rhinos out there along with your Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. We're coming up to a hard break. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.